listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Buzz. Every weeknight, it's Buzz After Dark.
You like that?
With Eric Steele.
Hang out with me Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight for the Buzz After Dark. It's kind of like the Titanic, except instead of 3 hours to sink, it takes 5 hours.
Freaks come out at night, that's for sure. Buzz After Dark.
After Dark.
All night long.
Awesome tunes, clothing optional.
Hope you enjoyed the ride.
Weeknight 7 to midnight on 102.9 The Buzz.
Bill's Rock Station.
Night Demon fans and friends, we are calling upon you to get Welcome to the Night added to rotation on 102.9 The Buzz. Text The Buzz Hotline at area code 615-399-1029 to request Night Demon's Welcome to the Night. That's area code 615-399-1029. You know what to do.
Hello and welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt, and this is part three of the Cirith Ungol story. And I highly recommend you go back and listen to the first two parts. When we left off, after almost 25 years of being broken up, the seeds of a Cirith Ungol reunion had been planted by Night Demon. So this is the Cirith Ungol story, part three. As a recap, after releasing four albums of solid, unique, kind of doom-filled metal, Cirith Ungol found themselves very out of place in the period of 80s Los Angeles hair metal. There is very little demand for an apocalyptic-sounding traditional metal band. Their work ethic and the quality of their music, it didn't translate to a demand for shows or for financial success. And with a complete lack of label support, the band was growing very frustrated. And after finally reaching their breaking point in 1992, after over 20 years, Cirith Ungol officially disbands. The members of Cirith Ungol, they went their separate ways after the breakup, and for almost 25 years, they completely turned their back on music. Then a friendship with Jarvis Leatherby and encouragement from the members of Night Demon persuaded the band to reunite at the Frost and Fire Festival October 2015 for an autograph signing. And the turnout is huge. So fans from all over the world show up just to meet and get their album signed. And the band realizes how diehard their fan base is, even after being inactive for over two decades. Here's Tim Baker, singer Cirith Ungol.
It was amazing, really, to see all these people come to the town that we lived in, Ventura, California, for a metal festival, you know, put on by Jarvis and the guys. It was pretty amazing to see all the people from around the world, and they brought all their stuff for us to sign, and all, and it was an impetus for us to maybe think about, you know, doing it again.
So like I mentioned, the seeds of a reunion had been planted in the minds of Cirith Ungol. But the idea of playing on a stage together again was pretty far off. Most of these guys hadn't touched an instrument since their breakup almost 25 years earlier. Here's Jarvis Leatherby of Night Demon.
No decision was made then. I'll tell you that. I mean, no decision was made then. There wasn't even a decision to jam or anything like that. But there was a decision to consider the possibility of possibly getting together and seeing maybe if playing music was even a possible thing for these guys at all. So from then on, it started with Rob, and we had kind of a shitty practice space, and we had this lockout, and Rob had this pair of drumsticks that I believe his wife Rose bought them for him as a stocking stuffer 11 years prior. So that would have been like 2005. So here we are, or 2004. Here we are, 2015, and Rob says he swore he'd never touch a pair of drumsticks, and I don't think he even touched those. I think he got mad at her when she got them for him, and her idea was just like, hey, look, if you ever wanted to pick it up again, just like, I don't know, just here's a pair of drumsticks. I don't know. And so she didn't mean any harm by it, but I believe he made her take them out of the stocking and put them up in the closet. Like, he kept to his word. He never physically touched another pair of drumsticks. So anyway, fast forward 11 years later, here we are in 2015. He grabs the sticks from his house. He comes to our studio. Dusty's drum set is set up in the studio.
And I had one of my drum kits there that I had made from like 2013. I think I made that drum set, or 2012. And Robert vowed to never play drums again. But when he finally decided to start playing some of the Sir Thungle songs again, he would rehearse on my drum set in Rick's place, and he was blown away by the craftsmanship and how they sounded, and it really inspired him to want to play the drums. And really, Robert was like the deciding factor whether this band was going to get back together or not.
I mean, so Rob doesn't own any drums, nothing. He sold all his drums when the band broke up and said, I'm never, we know the story. I'm repeating myself. But I just said, hey, look, just wail on the kit. And I gave him some time to just get reacquainted with the drums. And I shut the door to the studio and I went downstairs and I gave him, I think he was up there for about a straight 45, 50 minutes. And he was just going at the kit, and I could hear it through the walls. And it reminded me of like Animal from the Muppets. I mean, it was just all over the damn place. I couldn't make it out what it is. I mean, it's definitely not riding like riding a bike. I mean, he needed to get reacquainted, and it was going to take a while. But it was great to hear him do it. And he came downstairs and had a big smile on his face, and he really enjoyed it and had a really good time doing it. And I knew that there was a possibility here. I mean, just that him taking that step was just so, so huge.
With Robert Garvin interested in drumming again, Brenton Jarvis of Night Demon learned two Cirith Ungol songs, the first two songs from the first album, Frost and Fire and I'm Alive. So Brenton Jarvis start jamming these two songs with Robert Garvin. And soon another member, Jim Barraza, joins for a jam.
It started there. And then Brent and I learned Frost and Fire and I'm Alive on guitar and bass. And so we started jamming with Rob, just playing those songs, just playing a couple Cirith Ungol songs. Then I got a hold of Jimmy and said, hey, how would you feel about coming and jamming like a couple Cirith Ungol songs with Night Demon? And he was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I'd really like that. And so he came down and, I didn't tell him that Rob was part of it yet. And so they kind of saw each other. They're like, what are you doing here? Wait, what are you doing here?
I thought it was just going to be Jarvis and Dusty and myself. he invited me, you know, to come over and play a song, you know, join the Legion or something. And I took him up on that. Although I didn't have a guitar, I scrambled with $200 that I had, and I was able to get a new guitar, actually. It was a one of those LTD Vipers that kind of had some flaws in the finish on the back, and it was going to be sent back to the manufacturer, but the store owner was kind enough to give it to me for $200. So, anyways, yeah, the Night Demon rehearsal space, you know, he had everything in there. You could just walk in and plug in. And when I went there, to my shock, Rob was sitting on the drum throne. Opened the door, and there's Rob. And Jarvis was like, yeah, you know, I told Rob you were coming, down. And Rob was like, yeah, I want to be down there too.
And it was kind of like, I mean, I didn't mean to trick anybody or be maniacal in any sort of way, but you know, I just kind of wanted this thing to happen, and these guys were so apprehensive about things and really nervous about what they were able to still do, and I think lacked a lot of the confidence, that I just wanted to be able to put them in the situation without them having to overthink it ahead of time. I mean, a lot of times showing up is 90% of success in anything. You just got to be there, you know. But so that was cool. We played Join the Legion off Paradise Lost, which is a great song. And that's kind of like, that's Jimmy's signature song. I mean, that's like one of the best songs he's ever written. The solo in that song is so finely crafted, and he just knows it so well. I mean, that's like his opus. When I think of that song, I think of Jim Barraza for sure. I mean, that is his musical legacy in a song right there. There's many more great things that have come from him since then, and many more to come. But I do believe that that song truly represents it, you know, on his tombstone, on his epitaph, that song should play years from now when you walk by his grave, you know? I mean, that's really how I think of it.
I was always wanting to do that. You know, I was definitely... if I had the chance, you know, to try to get a hold of Tim or Rob, you know, I did do that once or twice, contact them, and they were just like, no, that was then, and, you know, we're done with that. I myself always had hopes.
So anyway, so here we were. We had Brent on guitar, Jimmy on lead, Rob on drums, myself on bass, no vocals yet. we continue to rehearse. We're getting together a couple times a week. And it's fun. We're having a good time.
So if you're curious about these early jams, in the subscriber section on nightdemon.net, there's never before heard audio of I'm Alive and Join the Legion from the reunion rehearsal with Robert Garvin, Jim Barraza, Jarvis Leatherby, and Brent Woodward. So that's something pretty cool if you want to check that out.
Then we get a hold of Greg Lindstrom, and Greg agrees to come up and play bass. He wanted to play bass because he was originally playing bass in the band in the 70s and then went to guitar. I believe on Frost and Fire, he probably played bass and guitar on that record. I know Flint's credited, but I don't know how much. I believe Greg played a lot on Frost and Fire. He'll have to tell you about that. But, you know, he ended up being a guitar player and playing guitar in Cirithungel. So he reprised his role as the guitarist. And so at that point, Brent had left the fold, and we had Rob Garvin on drums, Greg Lindstrom on guitar, Jim Barraza guitar, and myself, Jarvis Leatherby, on bass.
Metal Blade Records presents the return of heavy metal legends Armored Saint with their 8th full-length album, Punching the Sky. A diverse, attitude-drenched collection, it's everything the band's faithful have come to expect from them while pushing their signature sound forward. Featuring 11 hard-hitting tracks, available on double LP and Digipak CD. Right now, Metal Blade Records is giving all Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners a 15% store-wide discount on all Metal Blade releases and merchandise, including this masterpiece from Armored Saint. Go to indiemerch.com/metalbladerecords and enter promo code NDPODCAST at checkout. This store is loaded with tons of swag from some of the best bands in metal, like Midnight, Cirithungel, Merciful Fate, Angel Witch, Satan, and of course, the mighty Armored Saint. That's indiemerch.com/metalbladerecords, promo code NDPODCAST. So march like a saint and take the last train home. Can you deliver?
So Jarvis, starting with a jam with Cirithungel's drummer, he gradually invites people to the jam, one by one. Here's Greg Lindstrom, guitarist Cirithungel.
Yeah, first Cirithungel rehearsal. I remember I wasn't nearly as nervous as I was before the first Falcon rehearsal. I don't know. I guess once 12 years of playing with Rob, you can never shake that out of your system. So after the first couple songs we played and got through those, I thought, yeah, we'll be okay.
So Tim Baker, always a really good sport throughout all of this, had been coming to pretty much every single rehearsal, and he would just sit in the back of the room, and he just was adamant about that he didn't want to have anything to do with the performances, and he had no interest in singing anymore. He was just there as like a friend and a fan and just to hang out and just to hear us fuck around with the songs and just to hang out and be a part of it. But what I would do is I would always set up a microphone, and I would always have the PA on, and I would always have a microphone on a stand, and I would kind of place it behind me and really close to where he would sit. And one day we were there, the five of us, and you know, we were playing Frost and Fire, and all of a sudden we heard that voice come through the PA, and he just got up and just totally surprised us and started singing, and it was fucking incredible. The hairs on my arms stood up. I was like razor backed. Like, it was total goosebump moment. It was just so fucking incredible how good he sounded. That voice is just, it's just incredible. It's so unique.
Tim, with his vocals, and you know, is he gonna sound the same? You know, I know that that was a concern for a lot of people was, you know, does Tim have a voice still?
There was a lot of talk amongst promoters and the fans worldwide. And the biggest thing was, could he still sing? Could he still do it? Could he still scream and screech like that, like he did when he was young? And not singing for 25 years and then age catching up to you. You know, he has smoked heavily for years. You know, as you age, you just, you know, the body changes and it just fails you. Your voice changes. Your parts get rusty, you know? He didn't have that problem. Tim is just an anomaly when it comes to that. And it's just incredible.
So gradually, Jarvis and the members of Night Demon put the band back together. And Night Demon really was the force that pushed the reunion to happen.
You know, as far as convincing us to take the leap, I think it was Jarvis was just providing us the chance to have fun, you know, to see if we enjoy it. And basically helping us to convince ourselves to take the leap and reform. He was definitely the conduit. Night Demon was the conduit, you know. You know, to this day, I always I'll just say that small room that we started in, definitely something special started.
What Night Demon did to help to get the band back together was essential. They allowed us to use their practice room, where we had none, and they allowed us to use their equipment, where we also had none. If it had not been for Night Demon allowing us to borrow their equipment and practice room, this would have probably never moved past the first initial stages. This is especially true for me as a drummer. Being able to use someone else's drums is always something that's kind of touchy. And Dusty let me play his drums and cymbals without any hesitation, and it created a strong bond between us, which lasts to this day.
Another vital aspect of the reunion is management. Jarvis agrees to manage the band through his company, Iron Grip Management, and that proves to be a big factor.
The main reason I resisted getting the band back together, many people had approached us trying to do that before, but I wasn't having any of it. I never thought we could recapture what we had before, and what I didn't want to do was tarnish the legacy that we had left. What was different about when Jarvis approached us is he had a definite plan, and he was willing to provide us management, which we'd never had before.
So Night Demon slowly reunites the band, and Jarvis provides management. But it doesn't end there. Dusty and Armand become their drum, guitar, and equipment techs, and the members of Night Demon become deeply entwined with Cirith Ungol.
I didn't know what to think, you know, when we first started doing it, but it felt right. It felt good to bring these guys back from the dead, you know? And to build the relationship the way that we did over time, where, you know, I drum tech for Robert. Armand does the guitar teching for Greg and Jimmy. You know, Jarvis being in the band, you know, only by default, because getting the bass player together in the band just wasn't happening. You know, my contribution to their gigs is drum teching for Robert. Robert's very particular about where his drums are placed on the drum set. Everything needs to be perfect. I mean, he's got a freaking tape measure when he comes to shows. He's got the angles of his toms, the way that they need to be placed. He's got all that written down. He's a maniac when it comes to the fine details. He really pays attention to that kind of stuff, and he really gets bummed when it's not perfect. And I'm a perfectionist, and I love my stuff being set up a certain way, but he's way more intense than I am when it comes to making sure that everything is exactly right. So it's pretty unique, and it really taught me how to work with him and how to be patient, and how to really pay attention to what he's doing, because, you know, a lot of these shows, they're the headlining band, so I need to, you know, treat him like the headlining drummer that he is, and to really cater to what he needs to feel comfortable to make the show happen, and to encourage him and to keep his spirits up, especially if he's a little bummed out about his performance or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that can come into play. Making sure that he's not nervous, and, you know, trying to do whatever I can for him. So,
and a final link that bonds the band is bass player Flint declines to reunite, leaving Jarvis to take up the role of bass player in the newly reunited Cirith Ungol.
Playing on stage with Jarvis is always exciting. He's the ultimate showman, and being able, as a drummer, to groove with the bass player is what my ultimate goal is on stage. When we work together, he creates a lot of excitement and energy, and he pulls the rest of the band along with him, and that's for sure.
So October of 2016, Frost and Fire 2. This is the official reunion of Cirith Ungol and the first performance since 1992. We did it at the Ventura Theater, and this was also the very last place that the band ever played. Their final show was there. So they left that stage and didn't play again. And I wanted to reunite them on the same stage where they had left it all before. So that was a real special thing for all of us, really. So we had announced that in January of 2016, announced the full lineup and the reunion of theirs, and people were just flipping out. A lot of people couldn't even believe it. They didn't think it was real. They didn't think it was really happening. Then rumors started to circulate that Tim Baker had died. People really thought he was dead. A lot of people thought he was dead for years. I don't know. It was just an incredible thing to be able to announce, and the frenzy surrounding it was so awesome. But there was a lot of pressure on the band, and we did our best to rehearse as much as we could. Night Demon was on the road a lot that year, so we put the time in. Every day was working on this festival, on the reunion of Cirith Ungol, and the Night Demon touring that we were doing. We had at that time moved Cirith Ungol from the Night Demon rehearsal room into Goldmine Studios, which Goldmine has been around since I think the 60s in Ventura, and it was like a legitimate recording studio, and it was the studio that they had recorded all four albums at. Frost and Fire, King of the Dead, One Foot in Hell, and Paradise Lost. So there was a lot of history there with the band, and the recording studio was kind of defunct. It was still fully intact and fully operational, but the owner was on the road a lot doing other gigs, and the home studio thing had really come up by then, and not a lot of people were renting commercial studios because of the cost. And so he didn't really have much going on in there, and so he kind of rented it to the band full time just as a rehearsal spot. And that's when Rob finally bought a drum set. His custom DW drum set with Ferrari red paint matching and leather hoops on the bass drums with the paint matching his Ferrari car. It's pretty cool. But it was kind of cool. Like the old magic and the old vibe from Goldmine was there, and the band was there rehearsing for their reunion. It really was really, really fitting. So we get up to the festival. Rob had retired. I believe he retired the day before we played, which was amazing. He had been at the city for 38 years, working at City Hall, which is known very heavily in Night Demon lore. And he retires, and he plays a reunion with his band. He gets his redemption at a venue two blocks away from City Hall. And it was just such a fantastic moment.
I remember just being so nervous for the band. I could only imagine how nervous they were. I was nervous.
And I remember the morning of the show, the sound check, it just sounded horrible. I mean, we had a terrible, terrible, terrible sound check. And it was just, it was making us really, really, really nervous.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is bar none the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon history and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
So with a lot of pressure and pretty high expectations, Seer the Ungle prepares to take the stage 25 years from their last live show at the exact same location. Here's Armand, guitar Night Demon.
For them to come back to Ventura and do it there, I mean, this was a huge thing. Because I'm pretty sure their last show they played before they broke up was at the Ventura Theater, and there was maybe like 50 people there. So this time, they walk out and the place is packed, you know, 1,200 people, whatever it is, you know. So there was a lot of pressure. I mean, I'm surprised Rob didn't have a heart attack before that show because it was such a big comeback. And, you know, we had the curtains closed. And that place, we saved that. Like, none of the other bands, you know, had to close curtains before they went on. So it was just kind of this big thing, you know. And then I'm pretty sure we started off the set by playing the toccata, the intro, over the PA blasting that. People you could just feel the energy in the room, man. It was like, fuck, this is happening. I mean, there were people from all over the world. It was huge. And besides the local thing, you know, coming back to their hometown and, you know, it's like the triumphant return. It's such a storybook thing, you know, it's so funny.
I'll spare the rest of the details of the day, but when it did come time to play, I mean, it was a really great thing. We kicked ass. We did so well, and it did sound great. audience was very happy. We had a lot of people there. Greg Hazard, the band's longtime photographer, Pat Lysett, their old roadie. I know Jimmy's ex-wife and his daughter were there. Tim's family was there. Jeff Cowan, who owned Goldmine, was there. Rob's sister Heather came out. It was a really cool, really, really cool thing, and total redemption for the band. And that kind of set us off on our path to the official reunion of Sirith Ungol and moving forward.
But the show went great. Everything worked as far as I can remember. Honestly, I don't have too many memories. We were so busy that weekend. I mean, we run that festival, you know. So me and Dustin, when it comes to time for that thing, you know, we're the logistic guys. We're the ones that are on the ground, on the, you know, on stages, dealing with all the bands, getting the gear, make sure that everybody has what they need and all that, you know. Jarvis does a lot of the pre-work, obviously, throughout the year, booking and dealing with hotels and getting bands out there and flights and all that crap, which is an immense undertaking, you know. So it's good that when the festival actually happens, you know, the last thing he needs to worry about is like gear for everybody and technical stuff. So that's where me and Dusty step in and handle all that. So yeah, it was a great success, you know. That was funny. I was just looking through my phone for some pictures, and yeah, I've got some pictures from the stage, and yeah, man, it's a full house. And it's a good feeling. I don't know if any of the guys cried that night, but I would imagine there were some tears of joy at that one.
It's hard to express how I felt that night. We'd been practicing, getting ready for it, and we were all prepared. But to actually see the entire theater packed with people from all over the world was amazing. I mean, there's no way to describe the emotion that we all had. There was not a dry eye in the entire room. Our set went off as planned. I thought we played well, and it really meant a lot to me to be able to get behind a drum set and play again after so many years not being able to do it.
It was a really nervous, nerve-wracking experience, but they handled it. It was a great show. It was awesome to see him playing there. It was awesome to see the energy from the fans. The response, the ovation, the whole thing. So it was really, really awesome.
Yeah, our first reunion show at the Ventura Theater in October 2016, that was pretty emotional, seeing the sea of faces there in the crowd and seeing how enthusiastic everyone was. And then to follow that up a couple days later with the declaration of Sirith Ungol Day at the Ventura City Hall was just capped a perfect weekend.
We got a proclamation put through where the city of Ventura had honored Sirith Ungol for its contributions to heavy metal and its contributions to the city of Ventura. So the Monday after Frost and Fire, they had a meeting at City Hall that we all went to, and presented the band with this proclamation, and it was great. And fans left over from the festival that weekend showed up, and it was officially Sirith Ungol Day in Ventura. So every year we celebrate that on that day. And it was just another feather in the cap, I would say. But really for me, I mean, my job as the manager, I've always said, was to protect the legacy of the band and really solidify it. And it's things like that. It's things like a triumphant reunion and bringing the rest of the world to our town. And then having our town acknowledge the band officially in that way. That's the stuff that matters to me.
I think the local leaders appreciated all the visitors and fans coming from around the world to stay at hotels, shop, enjoy our local city and culture. And somehow we talked the city council into declaring October 10th, 2016 to be Sirith Ungol Day. We received a proclamation and we stood up in front of the city council, and it was pretty amazing. I don't think I ever expected that either. But every year on October 10th, I get emails from around the world and messages, everyone congratulating me, celebrating Cirith Ungol Day.
What is up, Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners? This is your resident motor mouth, Jarvis Leatherby, telling you about something very, very special here. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology Volume 3. This is a book, guys. That's right. We all know Decibel Magazine as the number one metal magazine in North America for many years running. But you know what? They also have a fucking killer book series, okay? I want to tell you about this. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology Volume 3. This limited edition hardcover includes 25 Hall of Fame stories from Decibel's revered monthly series of artist interviews on the making of their classic extreme music albums. Featured in this book are stories behind classic albums such as Stained Glass by Judas Priest, Apocalyptic Raids from our good buddy Tom Warrior's Hellhammer, Pleasure to Kill from Teutonic German Terror creator, Court in the Act from the legendary new wave of British heavy metal gods, Satan, and of course, Abigail from the legendary King Diamond. And last but not least, Night Demon's personal favorite, Heartwork, from the only other band from Liverpool, Carcass. So guys, please head on over right now to store.decibelmagazine.com and grab a copy to read the definite stories of heavy metal's definitive albums. Put in the promo code Night Demon upon checkout to receive 10% off. That's Night Demon, one word, all capital letters. Get your 10% store.decibelmagazine.com. While you're there, guys, go ahead and grab a subscription of the Mag 2. They've got a great vinyl flexi series. Do yourselves a favor here. Get on the level. Store.decibelmagazine.com. Promo code Night Demon. See ya.
So that first show was the first step in Cirith Ungol rising from its grave and starting a new chapter. It was a result of a lot of hard work by the members of both bands. And once touring started, Cirith Ungol relied heavily on Night Demon for management, drum tech, guitar tech, equipment tech, just general guidance.
Since Cirith Ungol had never toured before, being able to rely on the expertise and help of our dear friends in Night Demon had been something we could not have ever lived without, especially me as a drummer, and I can use that experience to share with you what it's been like. Showing up at shows, having to be on stage, the equipment set up with just a very short period of time, being able to have Dusty by my side to help me get the drums set up and together has been a necessity, and there's no way I could have done it by myself. His experience and Armand's experience helping the rest of the band get all the electronic and guitar gear together has been indispensable, and we couldn't have done it without him. I mean, that's just the way it is. Also, them being friends and us working together and playing so many shows together, we got to understand how each other's band works. And I think their ability to learn how we operated and help us do it has been the reason for our success in our reunion.
Our working relationship with Night Demon has been great. Since Jarvis is actually in the band and actually manages the band along with, you know, being in Night Demon and managing them and a number of other bands, it works out that, you know, we do a lot of gigs together, which of course, you know, we kind of have to since he's in the band. So normally when we do that, the Night Demon and us are booked at the same festival. So that works out great.
So the Cirith Ungol and Night Demon thing, it's like a symbiotic relationship, you know? We're like two parts of a body that need to work together to fulfill a greater good or a greater task. You know, obviously they've given us opportunities because of, you know, what they have in their stature. Some of these festivals that you know, we'd end up playing. Like, that's their thing is, like, hey, if you want Cirith Ungol, you got Night Demon too, because either way, we're traveling with them. You know, there's only been a couple of gigs that we didn't, that Night Demon didn't play the same, you know, show. I mean, the thing is, we're there anyway. So these guys have to fly us out as well with the band, so they might as well book us on. And, but, you know, for whatever reason, a couple of those festivals decided that, I don't know why, but they didn't want the power of the demon. But it's cool. We'll be there. We'll play them. Yeah, it's hand in hand, man. We help those guys, and they'll tell you, right? They'll tell you anytime that they won't do a gig without us. And honestly, I don't think they would be able to pull it off either. They could play well, but as far as getting everything together, and you know what? They shouldn't have to do it themselves. They deserve it. They've worked long and hard, and it's been a long road, you know?
One thing that I think is very important to address is the notion of Cirith Ungol and Night Demon appearing together on festivals all around the world. Now, truth be told, it was mainly Rob just saying, like, hey, look, you know, we didn't get back into this thing to be a touring band or to get rich, and we really just want to enjoy this and have fun, and we want to play with our family and friends, which is Night Demon. And so he's basically wanted to take the stance that, like, any show Cirith Ungol plays, Night Demon has to play too. So me as the manager, I mean, it's hard for me to talk to promoters and agents and tell them that, because, I mean, it kind of sounds like it's coming from me. It's like, oh yeah, like here I am trying to get my band off the ground, and, you know, I'm managing this legendary band, and yeah, you want them? Well, if you want them, you got to take us, kind of thing. But that's really not the case, and that's really not how it is. But the reality of the fact is, the band has never traveled anywhere without the three guys in Night Demon. Armand is the guitar tech, and he takes care of all the stuff on the stage. Dustin is Rob's drum tech. Rob wouldn't be able to do a show without Dustin there. And vice versa with the guitar players. I mean, Armand helps set up everything. He's got a vast knowledge of this stuff. Plus, I mean, as we know, as history has proven, I mean, he's been there in the wings when somebody from Ungol can't make it. I mean, he just jumps right in and kills it. So he's in our insurance policy that way. But, you know, you're only as good as your guys are. The band makes it rock. The roadie makes it roll. You know, and I've taken the roadie position in many bands as well, not just been the guy on stage. It's a good skill to have, and it's good to know. But we come as a full package like that, and Cirith Ungol, as a legitimate headliner, deserves to have a good crew like that. So the fact of the matter is, Night Demon's going to be there anyway. So if you're a heavy metal festival promoter and you're booking Cirith Ungol to come in and headline or play your fest, and Night Demon's going to be there anyway, like, why wouldn't you have Night Demon on the bill? Probably get us for cheaper, because we're already having to fly in with these guys. And, you know, as a band, we've definitely proven pound for pound, we've proven our weight and we've proven our worth. So why not? I mean, why couldn't we have a crack at that? I mean, why would you waste that opportunity to not have a great band like ours play on the festival? So that's the reality. And I'm glad I can make that clear here. I mean, I know this podcast is listened to mostly by Night Demon friends, fans, and loyal supporters. So I don't think they give a shit anyway. But just for the record, you know, I mean, it's like, there's just so much talk of and speculation out there about it. That's the truth. And that's the reality of it. And I'm not ashamed of it. And at the end of the day, I'm honored to play on stage at any festival in the world. And any chance that I get to do that with Night Demon, and we're going to take that opportunity.
We travel with the band because we're their techs. And the band, Cirith Ungol, doesn't really want to play any shows without us there. You know, if we couldn't make one of these shows, I don't think the guys would be as comfortable going out there and doing what they do. So they really rely on us being there. you know, it's one of those things too, like Jarvis is like their tour manager on top of being in the band and manager, you know, so he's taking care of all the logistics that those guys have no idea what to do. I mean, they could figure it out because obviously we're grown ass men and we can figure these things out, but they'd be lost. And I know that if I was out there doing it myself, I'd be lost too, because there's so many details that go into just traveling and hotels and blah, blah, blah. You name it, there's something that has to do with somebody has to know what the heck's going on. So I think that's really how we became such a close-knit family, as it were, because we're a package deal. You know, you don't get one without the other. And it's funny how it turned into that over time, because, you know, originally it wasn't that at all. You know, we were Night Demon just trying to figure out how to play shows and keep our head above water. Then, you know, 2 years of solid heavy touring, you know, we end up getting Sir with Uncle back together and opened up a whole nother avenue of us to be able to go out and experience new places and new areas and new festivals and really expand our horizon as far as a touring band. And, you know, we did the same for Sir with Uncle. So it's really cool how that all ended up working out.
They're awesome guys, man. I mean, they're really good friends of ours now. We're like a big family. We share, you know, rehearsal spaces. The world headquarters for Night Demon, and we have our space in there also. So, you know, out on the road, I mean, we have fun. You know, we party together. You know, Dusty and Armand are do the technical stuff for us, and they really help out a lot. I mean, Dusty really helps out Rob with the drums, and Armand does all the technical stuff, you know, all the guitar stuff, and helps out doing, you know, if we have problems with any kind of equipment, sound, or anything like that. So, I mean, our relationship with them has worked out great. It's probably way more one-sided on our side than it is for them, but, I mean, you know, we couldn't ask for a better support group of those guys. Since, I mean, it's not just a support group, it's just being friends and traveling companions and stuff. So, I mean, it's worked out great. We love those guys, and, you know, we can't thank them enough for all the help and all the support. Like, you know, it's been amazing. You know, it's just been great for us, and hopefully it's been good for those guys too. So, you know, it's a fantastic thing. And we can't thank them enough, like I said before, for helping out in all the ways that they do. And, you know, we obviously wouldn't be doing this, you know, without their support. So we owe them a lot for that, and we'd really appreciate it. And just thanks, guys.
So that's it for this week. Tune in next week when we wrap up the Sir with Uncle story, including their long-awaited conquering of Europe, the creation of their last album, Forever Black, and some news on a future Sir with Uncle release. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to check the subscriber section on nightdemon.net, where we have never-before-heard audio from that first reunion rehearsal with Robert Garvin, Jim Barraza, Jarvis, and Brent. Streaming bootleg audio of the entire Frost and Fire 2 set. Images from the reunion of Frost and Fire 2. Images of Ventura Hall's proclamation of Sir with Uncle Day. Tons of cool stuff. Be sure to check that out. That's in the subscriber section at nightdemon.net. So until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Unbearable suspense keeps you on the edge of an abyss of terror.
Take a cult film odyssey into cinemadness with Cinematic Void. Based in Los Angeles, Cinematic Void is a film series that specializes in horror and exploitation films. Currently, we are hosting Cinematic Void Up All Night in the Cinemadness Movie, a monthly virtual screening series, as well as the Cinematic Void podcast, where we dive deeper into the world of cult cinema. You can find Cinematic Void on the World Wide Web at cinematicvoid.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like what we do, you can support Cinematic Void by joining our Patreon. Until next time, see you in the void.